If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to another episode of the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Today, I am joined by Erin Falconer, who is the author of How to Break Up with Your Friends, Finding Meaning, Connection, and Boundaries in Modern Friendship. And I came across Erin's book on social media when her book first launched in 2022. And ever since coming across the title and the concept, I have wanted to have her on the show because I think for multiple reasons, and you'll find out as we go through this episode, but because I think breakups are such an important time for a refresh in our life, sometimes it is a time that we do need to look at things like our friendships and take inventory of what's working, what's not. And it's also a time where we may need to be reestablishing friendships because we have given up a lot of relationships with friends when we're in relationships with our ex. So sometimes we need to reconnect with people, and sometimes it's a time where we need to make new friends. And we talk about all of that in this episode. We talk about why it's so important to take inventory of our friendships and see what's working, what's not, how we are oftentimes afraid to have conversations with friends that we would have within a romantic relationship. Erin gives a lot of great advice on how to ask for what you need within a friendship, how to have constructive conversations instead of just drifting away from people or growing quietly resentful. And she also gives great advice on how to make new friendships. So this episode is great for those of you who feel like you need some improvement in your friendships and some of you who just want to deepen the relationships that you have, which is so important when you're going through a breakup. You hear me talk constantly about how your relationships and your friendships are going to be such a key recovery element for this. So loved this episode. I highly recommend everyone goes out and gets Erin's book. I loved reading it, and I know you will too. Welcome, Erin, to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. I have been wanting to have you on the show for a while, so it's such an honor to have you on today and to chat about friendships.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So I think I must have come across your book when it first launched on social media, and instantly, the title is just so attention grabbing. And it's, while I focus on romantic breakups, it's such they go hand in hand for sure. And so I would love to hear how you came to this place of writing your book. What made you interested in friendship? I think it's so interesting that we have so much content out there about romantic relationships and even like work relationships, how to improve them, how to fix them. And there's so little on friendship, but they're such a big part of our lives. So I would just love to hear some backstory from you.
Yeah, sure. So I was a little while out from my first book, which was very much in the female empowerment space. And I was looking to write a follow-up, and I'd gone on for months and months going down kind of ultimately dead ends. I was pretty frustrated. And then I remember waking up one morning at like 6 a.m., half awake, half asleep, and this phrase, how to break up with your friends, was just in my head. And I was kind of like, what? tried to go back to sleep, couldn't. Over the next couple of days, it just kind of kept resurfacing. Cut to later that week, I'm sitting at a restaurant to meet somebody who at the time I would outwardly have described as a BFF, like one of my a really long-standing close relationship, and who is chronically late. And as I was sitting there, I was getting really, really leaning right up against angry. So I had a lot of time to kind of look at that because she was very late. And I started to think, like, why are you so angry about this? Like, the emotion does not match the crime. And so I started to kind of quickly snapshot the landscape of our friendship. And what I kind of realized was, like, oh my God, there's this big kind of chasm that's grown between us. And again, outwardly, I would say, like, without even thinking, this is like one of my best friends. But when I really looked at it, I was like, wow, actually, like, it hasn't felt that close I don't even know how long now. So, but the big epiphany that I took from that is that I couldn't believe that this was the first time I was actually looking at this type of relationship with that lens on. And so she ended up showing up and we had a fine lunch, but I kind of ran home and was like, I wonder how, like, what's the state of affairs of the other relationships, friendships in my life? And so I kind of went through the same process as I did with that. And it dawned on me, you know, we are a society that is just absolutely obsessed with information about ourselves. We know every calorie or gram of protein we're eating. We wear stupid watches that tell us every step we're taking. Marie Kondo has us holding up chairs and asking if they bring joy. And yet, this category of relationship, friendship, is very, very overlooked. And so I got to thinking, like, why is that? To your point, you know, at the beginning, at the top, you said, you know, we spend so much time with these people and are so involved with these relationships. Where's the disconnect? And I'm a therapist. And so when I looked at just kind of traditional basic therapy, we have individual therapy, couples therapy, family therapy, and this category, friendship therapy, does not exist. And so while I'm not necessarily advocating that, you know, friendship couples run out and, you know, get a therapist, although for long-standing relationships, I don't think it's a bad idea. But what that meant to me is that there was no kind of agreed upon, collectively agreed upon language for navigating conflict within these relationships. There's no kind of blueprint for what a good friendship looks like, what a bad friendship looks like. And so I really wanted to create this book to, number one, help create a language and then help get the conversation started. Because I think we're ultimately leaving so much on the table because we're not being as intentional or as involved or as careful with these relationships as we should be.
I love that. And two, there's like so much more research coming out about the fact that longevity and so much is tied to your friendships and your happiness. So much of that is tied to your friendship. There's just so many connections with your social circle and your community that you build around you. And yeah, there's not a lot of language. And I actually, early on, someone asked me to do a friendship breakup solo episode. As I was recording it, I was like, I don't know anything about, I feel like I don't know anything about this. So it was kind of a blind leading the blind recording that I talked about. But yeah, I think it is such an important topic.
And you know, just to speak to what you just said, so I actually sold this title February 27th, 2020.
Oh,
I
wow.
thought it was an important topic then. Cut to 3 weeks later, and we go into a national lockdown, and everybody, we've been ripped out of these relationships. We go into these little bubbles, and there's this kind of forced reckoning, like, who do I miss? Who am I going to try and break some COVID rules to go see? Who could I not care less that I'm getting Zoom happy hour invites from? And so that was a really good piece of information. And I think there was some relief in that because it was like, oh, wow, I don't have to just see everybody just because I've said or, you know, labeled them as a friend. But then this real loneliness started to emerge, not just because of the friendships, but because people were in isolation. And loneliness became such a huge factor, a huge talking point. And to your point, it's been this loneliness in general has been tied to poorer health, poor immunity, poor mental health, higher stress, you know, all the things. I write a little bit about that in the book. But then this was just so amplified coming out of COVID because there was so much fragmentation. People didn't know how to re-enter and didn't know, you know, so to the point where now the Surgeon General has announced about 6 months ago that when you're going in for general physicals on the questionnaires, just like right under the how many drinks a day do you have, how many cigarettes or recreational drugs do you have a week, there's a category, how many times a week are you socializing, you know, meaningfully with someone. So it's really important. It's not just a nice to have, it's really important that we get this right.
Yeah, I actually listened to a podcast episode with him on it where he basically said like there's an epidemic of loneliness in our country, especially hearing about how especially like teenagers and high school age people are suffering from so much loneliness, which is so sad because I look back on that time for me and that was a time where I was constantly with my friends and feeling very connected and it was more adulthood stuff that pulled me away. But when you mentioned COVID, I feel like not even intentionally, but there is a very difference in my friendships and relationships pre-COVID, post-COVID. And I'd never thought about it in the way that you just explained it. But yes, it's you take everyone away, and there had to be some intentionality to rebuild a lot of those friendships instead. And it took work again. And that's one thing, and I want to get into it a little bit later, but friendship, in my opinion, takes work. It's not just something that you're entitled to have. It's not like when we're in elementary school and every kid in your class gets invited to the birthday party and you're just friends with everyone that you're in proximity with. As we get older, it is something that's a very big investment piece. And the first thing that I wanted to ask you about in regards to your book was this idea of like the taking inventory, which it sounds like that's something that you kind of started with when you had the idea for the book. And I use my husband as like an example of this. My husband, in our wedding, every single one of his groomsmen were people that he went to middle school and high school with.
It's
Me,
not
not the same at all. It was so different. And so
that's
it's
how
just,
men are. They have totally
yeah.
different relationship to real friendships.
So can you talk about this process of taking inventory of friendships and why we don't do that and why we should?
There are so much baked in, you know, around the audit of romantic relationships. I mean, after one first date, we're literally going through a checklist that's pre-programmed in our mind of like, did this person meet da, 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 da. Then you're sharing that with your friends. There's a constant check-in and vigilance around this process. I feel like that goes on for decades if you're with that person. And yet we kind of get into these friendships. And largely we choose them, you know, to your earlier point about the early on friendships, the biggest factor of friendship, you know, when you're, you know, young school, elementary school age is proximity. It's just literally like who's next to me or who's in the same sandbox or classroom. And then as you get older, you know, as you go through your teens, and this is one of the things that's kind of I'm finding so tragic about this isolation in the teen years is that who you identify and who you start to move towards based on choice is really, and then who you're kind of repelled against and who you, I don't really like that person. It's such a crucial process in defining you as an individual. That's like the first measure of how you start to really understand yourself is how you want to show up and who you want to relate to in the world. Because again, prior to that, it's basically been proximity and like, and then the children of your parents' friends, you know, so and so's here because my mom wants to hang out with so and so, you know, that kind of thing. And so the idea that this isn't happening naturally right now in today's teens, or at least to the level that it is, because they're preoccupied by, you know, Instagram, social media, and all of that stuff is really, I don't even know what's going to happen there because it's such a key, again, like modulator on how you're ultimately going to, it's like the launching off point from starting to understand your own identity and then how you take that into the world. But anyways, so once you get past the teen year, that's another show. Once you get past the teen years, then you start to choose who you want to be friends with. And we do that largely throughout our adult life. What we don't do, though, is we have not been conditioned to choose who we don't want to be friends with anymore, right? We kind of just keep stacking in these people. And obviously, we don't have the bandwidth to spend, you know, equal amounts of time with all of them, but there's no real vetting. There's no real audit. There's no understanding of like, who do I actually want to spend my time with? Who is important to me? What is important to me right now? Who can help support that? Who can I support? And so without that, we're really just carrying around a lot of kind of what I would call dead energy. And even if you're not interacting with all these people all the time, it's kind of like just a lot of tabs open, right? The computer stops to run at its highest, efficiency when there's 55 tabs open. So the very first place to start, actually, and this is what I talk about in chapter one, is in order to have the most meaningful relationships, you have to truly understand who you are and what your needs are. And you need to have a really kind of profound understanding at any given moment of where you are, right? And so I like to say that you need to be able to answer four questions. Who am I? Where am I? How did I get here? And where do I want to go? And until you have a thoughtful answer to all four of those questions, it's really hard and seemingly random to start creating your starting lineup of friendship, right? Because until you understand how you want to be seen and how you want to show up in the world, it's hard to start cultivating meaningful relationships that help mirror that. So, assuming you've done that work, then you just start. It's really easy, pen and paper. And the fizz is this, it's so rudimentary. At least this is the way I started. You take a pen and paper and you literally just write down a person's name and just watch your visceral reaction, right? I mean, we've all had those friends, your phone rings and you look at the phone and it's like so and so comes on. You go, oh, without even thinking, you're just like, oh, what's this going to be now? You know what I mean? Or the phone comes on and you go, oh my God, you dive to answer the call. Well, so this is kind of what happens when you just write these people, everybody that's kind of in that inner tier down. This is really good information. And it's kind of like that creating that little microcosm of me sitting in that restaurant where I'm just getting really frustrated. And before I just get really frustrated, and then as soon as she would show up, I would just be like, oh, kind of push it down. And then we'd get on to the business of the lunch. But this exercise is to say, what are the feelings? Okay, does that align with how I see that, how I would write the description of our friendship on paper? If not, what's gone on? And do I still feel that this, it's not, and by the way, it's not whether the person, other person is valuable in your life. It's whether the relationship is valuable in your life, right? It's not about, is this other person good or bad, or am I good or bad? It's about, is what we have between us, does it work? If it doesn't work, if I put some effort in, will making it work feel good? Does it still feel right? And so you got to go through and really take inventory of these people in your life and then start to make some changes. And it's not necessarily even about going through and cutting out, all of the relationships that you aren't necessarily jazzed about, but about being really intentional about which relationships and which people you're going to put energy towards, and then which ones you're going to be okay with saying, okay, this person is no longer like a front and center person, but I'm not cutting them off, but I just understand that like I've chosen that they will be either a middle tier or a third tier friend. Just doing that, just being intentional about your energy has a huge impact. And then it frees up some energy to really then double down on the people who the relationships that are working or you find real value in. Or if you've got holes, then to say, okay, I got to go out and I'm missing some things in my life. And so I'm going to set the intention to find those relationships.
So many good things that you just said, but the thing that stuck out to me with what you just said is I feel like I had this big friendship reckoning right around COVID time. And it kind of started a little bit beforehand, but I was so focused on having this big social group. I was so concentrated on having just like this group and this big community that I did not feel like I had good quality relationships because my energy was just spread way too thin and there was just no way that I could cultivate. And I was stretching to create friendships with people that weren't reciprocated or just wasn't working, and therefore a lot of the time neglecting really, really close friendships. And so it's like we just don't have, and even, I think a lot of this happens with age. Like in our 20s, we have a lot more capacity for
Yes.
maintaining more friendships. But as we get older and our life gets more and more full, we do end up having like a very limited capacity for friendships. And what you said too about knowing yourself, I, in my like early 20s, I was one of those people that was like, I don't do well with girlfriends. Like, I'm so much better with being friends with guys. And like, not to gender stereotype, but the reason was, is because I could not have intimate friendships because I did not know myself. And so I did much better with people that I could just, you know, go watch a movie with or go to a bar with or whatever that looks like. So there is something, I would say, so intimate about having really close friendships that if you're not in a position to show that side of yourself or have someone open up that side of themselves to you, then it's really difficult to have those.
Totally. Absolutely. And, you know, another interesting thing, because I also would say to a certain extent that, and this is actually still kind of true, is that I have some very close guy friends. My relationship with them is so different than with my girlfriends. But one of the things that I really like and why I think I have gravitated towards them is that the way they are able to compartmentalize, which is a double-edged sword, it can be bad because you can't get to the level of depth, but they are able to get upset about something, tell you right away, and then you have an exchange about it and be done with it. And so I feel like I've had so many kind of great conflicts with my guy friends where it's like, oh, I didn't like that either. And there's no thinking about it. It's just, this is what happened. I don't like it. Da, 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 da. And when I watch like my brother's friends or my husband's friends, it's not that they don't have conflict. They actually just deal with things right away and then put it away. Whereas I feel like, for example, with my friend that was late, you know, at the beginning of all this, I'm so in my head. I feel so extra if I say anything. I'm immediately making excuses like, well, she's a single mom and it is far and there's a lot of traffic and da 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 da. And so I end up like not voicing myself in the same way that I would just, I'm not exactly sure why that is, but there is a real difference. And I want to be able to look to that a little bit more, the way those conflicts are handled, because I think there's a better way to do what we as women are doing within female relationship. It doesn't have to be everything, you know, to just get in the practice of saying, hey, I didn't like that. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. No, it's okay. Cool. Like just now, you know, great. Move on. That like boat never happens. There's like so many layers and then, no, but I heard that you said to so-and-so that da, 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 da. And it's like all of a sudden you feel like you can't actually really just, it's like, oh, this isn't big enough to bring up because it could turn into something. So we end up really saying nothing until there's like this, either it's totally passive aggressive or there's this big like blowout. And
Or you just drift away from the person because you don't even want to deal with it.
Exactly. And that's actually the most common thing, is that this chasm grows where it's just like, and then by the time you catch it, it's like, oh, that's too much work. You know?
Yeah.
Not like you're saying that consciously, but that's what's like, oh, yeah, I think I'm going to let this one go, you know? And it's like, that's a real shame. It doesn't have to go that way.
Yeah. I remember one time my husband was talking to his best friend and I was just hearing the conversation. I was so stressed because I was like, are they ending their friendship right now? They were having like such a heated exchange. And then by the end, he's like, all right, I'll see you next weekend. Like, love you. And I'm like, what?
To me, this is just a revelation. Like, it is just like, whoa, what liberty. Now, again, if you take it too far, there's too much compartmentalization and then you'll never get to the goodness of what these female friendships really can be. But I do think there's a hybrid between what we're currently doing right now and then that kind of more traditional, you know, masculine response to just like saying what they're feeling at any given moment and then moving on.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It is so important to share your thoughts and feelings while going through a breakup, especially if it's something you're feeling any guilt or shame around. I know whenever I'm struggling with a certain thought or situation and I keep it to myself, it gets heavier and heavier and feels harder and harder to manage. I truly believe we are as sick as our secrets. Therapy has always been a safe space for me to have a judgment-free zone to get things off my chest. Whether it's something from my past, a current struggle, or something I'm anxious about in the future, I always feel lighter when I'm able to share something that feels feels scary. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/heartbreak today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/heartbreak. Are you looking for a guilt-free way to unwind? Between balancing your breakup, work, and just functioning in your day-to-day life, I know you are under a lot of stress. Breakups mess with your nervous system, cause obsessive thoughts, and make it so hard to just sit with yourself. This is why it's so important to have rituals that allow you to treat yourself in a healthy way. And this is why I love Recess Mood, a sparkling water infused with functional ingredients like stress-balancing adaptogens and mood-lifting magnesium. Life has been very full and stressful for me lately, and as someone who hasn't had alcohol in 11 years, I need something that helps me relax and that can bring me a moment of peace. Lately, my favorite way to do that is sitting on the couch after I put my kids to bed and having either the strawberry rose or the lime Recess Mood. They not only make me feel good, but they also taste incredible too. So whether you're looking for a healthier alternative to alcohol or a way to make you feel more balanced, you deserve a healthier way to unwind. Head to takearecess.com/heartbreak and get 15% off Recess Mood, your go-to alcohol replacement. The last time I went through a breakup, I know my mom was someone I was really able to lean on and get support from. She has always been a rock for me through heartbreak and everything in between. And with Mother's Day right around the corner, I wanted to share an idea of something super special that you can gift to your mom. MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Every week, they will email your mom a question, and she can either type out an answer or record one. And at the end, MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, and they can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. I gifted my mom this, and it means so much to me that I can not only learn so many of her stories, but also preserve them for my kids and future generations. My mom has already talked about how fun it's been for her to reflect on her past and think about things that she hasn't in so long. It even prompted her to dig up some old photos from when she was in the newspaper for being the only female mail carrier in Detroit in the 60s. So cool. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code HEARTBREAK at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code HEARTBREAK for 10% off today.
Yeah, and I actually want to kind of take this line that we're talking about to break up. So one thing I think that's very common is people are in relationships, in a romantic relationship, that becomes everything. I'm guilty of it. I think a lot of people are guilty of it. The friendships start really falling by the wayside. The relationship ends, and then the person looks up and feels completely alone, which this is something that I did. I was in this really toxic relationship in my early 20s, really deserted all of my friends, and had so much guilt and shame about reaching back out to those friends and saying, hey, I'm sorry, I messed up. And then I end up in this like very lonely spot. So what would you recommend for people who find themselves in that position and kind of need to pick up the phone and reach back out?
Well, yeah. So first of all, I want to say that one of the best things you can do for your romantic relationship is keep strong friendships. Because 100%. Right now we're in such a world. I know you're on the West Coast. We're both in California. So, but I'm pretty sure that this is true for the rest of the country where like husbands and wives or partners, romantic partners are so involved in one another's worlds. Like we do everything together. We're like doing yoga workouts and everybody's taking everybody to school. And I know every single name of my husband's coworkers and, you know, we're constantly, and that is a lot of pressure on that relationship, right? For that other person to be your everything. The truth is only you can be your everything, right? And so if you're looking for that or having the assumption that that other romantic, you know, the romantic partner in the relationship is going to be that for you or you for them, it's not sustainable. So having intentional friends that you can offset some of this, this friend that I go to for that, this is my whatever friend that I go to for that, instead of it all being offloaded on one person, is the best thing you can absolutely do for the longevity of your romantic relationship. But going back to your original question, So I think we've all been there. It is so common. You get into a romantic relationship and then you're like, this is it. You throw yourself in, whether it's a good relationship or a bad. And you do. There's a lot of kind of, attrition in your friend base. And so, listen, we're only human. Again, it's not so uncommon. It's actually pretty common. So you want to be able to reach out to people and just have it your old friends and just have an honest conversation and say, look, I got in a situation, I got, below water, and I didn't prioritize our friendship. And the silver lining of this romantic relationship kind of imploding is that now I really understand and value, the place of this relationship in my life. And I would love to, reconnect and try and reestablish something here. I feel like when you lead with honesty like that, it's very disarming. And because most of us have been there at one point or another, most people will be very receptive to that. But it really takes courage. You really got to put your ego to the side. You've really got to own, what happened. It can't just kind of be a picking up the phone, pretending nothing went on. Like you really want to own, I got a little lost. I made some choices that I'm not proud of, and if anything, I now value you more in this relationship more than ever, and I would love to give it another try. But that's on you. You can't expect people to just come to you. If you want something, you've got to go out there and get it. Have the courage to do that. And it's also a great opportunity if there has been this attrition, not by your choice, to also not just go back to every person, to really take the time and to do that audit, right? Because
Totally.
probably 50% of those relations, I'm just making that number up, but a significant amount percentage of those relationships, you don't even need nor want. The ones that you choose or identify that could be really valuable, you're going to be able to lean even that much further in if the other person's is open to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I always say this message around breakups, but breakups are just this great opportunity to refresh and restart in a
Oh.
lot of different areas, which is why I bring so many topics through this podcast, because I just think there is such opportunity to reassess everything. And I think I loved what you said about leading and being honest and telling people, hey, I want you in my life. And when you're feeling lost as you are after going through a breakup, friendships can provide a really great anchor for who you were maybe prior to the relationship, or just like you said, they're a reminder of who you are. Friendships are such a mirror for us.
Totally.
So being able to reconnect with
Yeah.
that. And I also want to talk about, I think sometimes what I hear from people is, it feels like I have no friends after the breakup. Like, no one's helping me. And it's like, okay, are people not helping you in the way you want to be helped? Are people not just like pushing down your door and coming in to help
Right.
you? And I think there's this thing of, oh, you'll find out who your friends are when you go through something tough. It's like a test kind of basis. When in reality, like, that shouldn't be the case, because that's not how we operate, or not how we should be operating.
I think the idea of being able to vocalize somebody, hey, I need you, is a really powerful thing. And if you're not invoking that and you're waiting that so somebody should have like a spidey sense, and of course there's like some basic protocol, if somebody breaks up with a long-standing relationship, of course. But more than that, I mean, we are living in like such a chaotic time. Everybody's going, at 150 miles an hour in their head. And a lot of times it's not because somebody doesn't care about you or doesn't, it's just there's so many things at any one given moment in front of them that, that's something, again, putting your ego aside and saying, no, this is somebody, I want to get that person's attention. I'm not feeling great and I want them to know that. And I want them to show up for me right now. If that's not a loss, that's a win, the ability to do that. Now, if you do that and the person doesn't show up for you, then you've got something to think about, right? But this passive position of they should know better, again, unless it's like there are some basics that they should know. But beyond that, it's just we can't assume that everybody is got their radars on us at all times because we don't have our, like, I don't have my radar. I would so appreciate it if a friend needed me or if they felt that I was letting them down to go, hey, Aaron, Like, I need you. Oh boy, I would jump to attention. You know, that all of a sudden goes right to the top of my queue, you know?
It would also make me feel good when if a friend said, hey, so I need valuable. Your help and I can show up for you. That feels so good.
Absolutely. People, it's like, it's a very high, you know, act of respect, I feel like, for somebody to say, and what a privileged position that somebody would ask for my help in that, you know, direct way, be vulnerable, but like that, but also so intentional. So you want to lead with the most courageous, not, you know, the bravest act, not the I'm going to sit here and then I'm taking score of who doesn't, because who there's no, it's all losers in that equation.
Absolutely. And if, you know, I use the example of if you have a friend who is saying, let me set you up with this person, or and you're nowhere near that, I think so many people will just write that person off instead of just asking for a little adjustment. Hey, totally appreciate that you're helping me, but I'm not there yet. Can you just come over and watch a movie with me?
Totally. Exactly. Being clear about what your needs are. Good advice for any relationship, but we just don't do it in friendships because, again, it feels so extra, or like, oh, I'm not being appreciative, or oh, I don't want to rock the boat. And that's just, again, leaving so much on the table, you know, in these relationships. So I just want to keep practicing, you know, what to say and workshopping all these different scenarios, because, you know, the truth is also like if there's so much accepted behavior around the other types of relationships, like if you have a breakup with a romantic breakup, it's totally okay to be bawling your eyes out and like take a day off work and call your friends and tell them the same stories over and, you know, just like your heartbreak over and over again. And yet if we have like a friend breakup, it's like, there's no protocol for that. It's just kind of like, okay, like it almost feels weird that you would be crying and, you know, feeling really devastated, the sense of loss. And yet, why wouldn't we, right? Like most of my friendships are older than my relationship with my husband. You know what I mean? Like if I lost one of those, it's a profound hole in my life. So yeah, again, just like advocating for creating conversations around all the various, you know, aspects of friendship, and so that we can start talking about it.
Yeah, I went through one, and I think friendship breakups tend to be very drawn out. I think maybe because they're like not, hey, we need to talk, you know, it's not you, it's me. I'd just rather be, you know, it's not that. It's more so they just slowly start dropping out of your life, and you just realize certain life events that they're not at anymore. And I went through one over the course of, I feel like it was like 2 years, and it's devastating. Yeah. And, you know, the things that we practice with a romantic breakup, we don't think to, you know, necessarily apply that for a friendship breakup. And that's a question that, you know, my friends and I have actually had conversations about with other friendships, is like, is there ever a time where you do have like a come to Jesus talk with a friend and say like, this is no longer working?
I think there should be, honestly. Okay. So as you know, in the book, it's called How to Break Up With Your Friends. There's only one chapter actually on how to break up with your friends. Yeah. There's nine on the value of friendship and how to do them better. But in that chapter, you know, and you wouldn't do this for everybody. You're not going to have a powwow with someone if you've been friends with them for 6 months or even a year. That's not, you know, but if you've been friends with somebody for a long time, see what happens is you can be really good friends with somebody for a certain place and space and time. Like maybe you met a friend in college, and that's just like your absolute ride or die in college. And then you get into the workplace, and then, you know, life kind of separates you. But what happens is if you guys are just naturally kind of going in your own way, I don't think there's really anything to do there. You don't, it's not necessary to be like jump in the middle of something that's just naturally happening. But what often happens, I find, is that with those types of relationships where you feel you've grown apart, but the other person is not necessarily getting the memo, or you could be that other person. It could be vice versa, right? And so there's like a mismatch in expectations. And so what happens is one of the two people keeps trying to engage the other person, whether it's like trying to make plans or trying to talk on the phone or just like, you know, texting or messaging too frequently. And what starts to happen is then you start to get resentful because you're like, why is this person not getting this? Like, I'm too busy, like da 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 da. And then the other person is like starting to get their feelings hurt because they keep putting in this effort that's non-reciprocated. Then what starts to happen is you've had these amazing, incredibly identity-forming experiences with this person. You've had this very warm relationship, and that should be the defining memory. But what happens is if it goes expire by date and there's a mismatch of expectations and one person's trying to still engage, then the defining moment memories is one of your irritation, frustration, feelings hurt instead of, so I would argue that in that, you know, I would want to address that because I don't want that to be the defining memory of this like otherwise quite incredible friendship, right? And I think because of the length of the relationship and the value it's provided, I do think it is worth, you know, trying to articulate that. So the hardest thing to do, though, is how do you start those conversations? So you wrote five or six of them, just basic conversation starters, and they all start with, you know, leading with the respect you have for the relationship. But this is why, you know, this can't or shouldn't go on. So you're not going to have many of those necessarily in your life, but I do think, you know, it is worth it. And then if you actually have a falling out with a person, so it's not a drift apart, I think there's good closure on it to be able to end something, you know, and say, again, you can still lead with respect and say, you know, I've enjoyed this relationship for blah, 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 blah. This happened. I won't get past that. And therefore, I'm choosing to end this, I think is a much stronger position. It's the one that garners the most respect. It's the hardest one to do, but I think it's worth it. I think taking those kind of, again, leading with bravery and kind of highest version of yourself, you know, interactions is where you want to ultimately try and go towards. But again, not all of, very few of the relationships, friendships in your life, you're going to have that, you know.
Yeah. And one thing that you talk about in the book that I really like, and I think it also, again, applies to romantic relationship breakups, is most of them are not coming down to the fact that someone's toxic or someone is like viciously trying to hurt you or something like that. It's really just comes down to incompatibility on some level. And it could be, you know, incompatibility because someone moves states and it's like too hard to maintain that long distance friendship. Someone has, I know this happens a lot. Someone has kids, the other person doesn't. Like that becomes Faith a pretty big incompatibility. So I love that you talk about that. I think we think that things need to be dramatic because this person is toxic when really it's just, I'm operating in this lane and they're operating in this lane and we're just not, they don't match up anymore.
Totally. And to that end, you know, I hear all the time in my office, he's toxic, she's toxic, da, 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 da. And sure, there are a very small percentage of people that, you know, are really going through things, maybe through mental health things and stuff like that. But 9 times out of 10, the other person that you're dismissing as toxic might have some bad behavior, but you're tolerating it. And so to just dismiss that as a them problem, as opposed to what in me has allowed this to keep going, is a really missed opportunity. And often that toxic person is out there in the world and has fine relationships with other people. Either there's tougher boundaries in them, otherwise they don't think they can get away with certain things, or maybe just the energy between the two produces something different. But the first thing I say is when somebody says to me, oh, this toxic person, I say, well, why have you been in it for so long? You know, I immediately bring it back to one's own personal responsibility because there's great information there about you. It's a great growth opportunity. And it allows you to just understand that there's a real responsibility in these relationships. And the more responsibility you take for it, the more kind of freedom and personal power you have. And so stop dismissing people as toxic. It doesn't mean you have to be keeping friends with that person. And it doesn't mean that that person is not behaving badly. But you're accepting this. So you need to consciously choose not to accept it as opposed to and taking your own ownership of whatever's gone on instead of just dismissing the whole thing as like, she's crazy or he's crazy or whatever, blah, 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 blah. It's not effective.
Yeah, I had a pattern of that. I went through this phase where I had like 3 really close friends in a row of friends who were very like domineering over me. I just kept having the same issue with friends. Like, I don't know why this is still happening. And it's like, okay, what in me is needing this person in my life? And it's the same thing with, again, with romantic relationships. It's like a breakup is a great time to address, oh, okay, I've been with someone emotionally unavailable for the last three relationships. Like, okay, what is it in me that is craving that, attracting that?
Yes.
Whatever, exactly. Whatever that looks like.
First, want to start with you before you start dismissing other people as toxic or whatever.
Yeah. And so the last question that I want to ask is, I guess it's kind of two parts. One is, how do we make friends as adults? I think that's a huge one that people are going through, especially people that are going through something really significant like a breakup. So I would love your expertise on that.
Okay. So great question. I get it all the time. So I'm going to liken this again to a romantic relationship. If you are a single person and let's say you've been single for what, maybe you've come out of a breakup or, you know, whatever, you usually take some time to reflect. And then at a certain moment you go, I think I'm ready to get back out there or whatever. And then what's the next thing you do? You announce it to everybody. You tell your friends, I think I'm ready to get out there, back out there, right? So what have you done there? You've literally just put that into the universe, right? You've engaged soldiers to start thinking and then putting that out there in the universe. And then, so you've started the wheels, right? Like that, right? And then every room you walk into, whether it's a bar or a restaurant or a friend's house, you're looking around, is there anybody here? Anybody here? Right? And it's just automatic pilot. It's all of a sudden, I want the exact same thing to happen. I want you to identify what kind of friend do you want? What do I need right now? And be as specific as possible about that. Because it's not just about their collecting people, as you know, you've probably gotten from everything I've said so far. And then turn that radar on, right? When you're walking, has anybody, you know, struck my curiosity? I'm looking around. Anybody seem interesting to me? Then I want you to start to gravitate towards, find a way to get over there. It's very, very similar to the process. It's just about finding connection, whether it's romantic or friendship, but the process is honestly the same. And then I want you to put yourself in places where there are going to be people. So let's say you have a dog. Instead of taking your dog for a walk around the block, I want you to find a dog park that's close to your house. You go to that dog park. You know you have at least one thing in common with everybody standing there. They like dogs. They've got a dog. If not all animals, their animal, right? You like jogging? Don't just go for a jog on the beach. Find a run club. You know that you got one thing at least in common with this group of people. So it's about really having that mindset about, like, if I were to try and start dating somebody right now, what would I do? What would be the steps that I would do? Do those exact same steps. And so I had somebody say to me, what are you talking about, Erin? I'm going to go to a dog park? What am I going to go over and start talking to somebody? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
How bad do you want a friend? How lonely are you? They're like, well, that's so weird. I'm like, it's weird until it isn't. It's got to start somewhere. It's not like you're going to be creepy and weird, but I mean, strike up a conversation. You don't need to ask the person to go for coffee. Just see if there's any kind of connective tissue there. Guess what? Yeah. You're probably going to see them next week. It just starts in baby steps. It's the exact same kind of muscles you'd be flexing for romantic relations. And it's really important to tell your friends, hey, especially if it's a life-based thing, like, or if you're moving to a new city, or if you have started, like, I remember when I had my baby, my son, I was running my own business and I had nobody in my like portfolio of friends was exactly where I was. And I felt like it was so lonely. I was trying to run this business and I had literally a newborn at home. And I remember saying to somebody, do you know, like I was, you know, of course, you know how it is being like hormonal and exhausted and you whatever. And just being like, I feel like I need to talk to somebody, asking my friend, not like a therapist. And yeah. My friend was like, oh, you know what? So-and-so is da 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 da. And I was like, who is so-and-so? And can I please, like, can you introduce us to her? You know, so just putting it out there, because people aren't thinking, you know, again, if it were like, if it's in the world of romantic relationships, people are so predisposed to, if somebody says, I'm ready to get back out there, they're immediately going to their Rolodex of like, who do I know? Who do I know? Again, we want to get there in the friendship realm where it's like, oh, I know somebody who would be, you guys would get along so well. Boom, connection. So yeah, so that's basically a long answer to your short question.
That's incredible. I've never thought about to relate it to how would you act if you were trying to date? And my friends and I, we talk about like the awkward first girl date kind of a thing where you like go, and it's like, yes, it's the same thing as dating. It's going to feel a little weird where you're sitting with someone having coffee. But I mean, I think identifying the stage of life that you're in. I mean, one of my absolute best friends I met because I joined a new mom group because I was, you know, I wanted to connect with other people or and sometimes it takes, I remember I joined a new gym last year and everyone seemed to be friends and it automatically I'm like, no one's going to like me here. I'm never going to make friends here. But I went every week and then it starts slowly sometimes. It's not necessarily like
one comment, you know, I love your whatever. Da, 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 da. Oh, do you know that class is good? Oh no, I don't like that one, but this teacher's great. Yeah, boo, boo, boo. And then it's like that moment enough. It's just great, you know? And then like next week, we'll see what else blossoms out of this, you know?
Totally. And I think for me, it's identifying the story that I'm telling myself in my head. Cause if I'm telling myself the story that it's hard to make friends, no one wants new friends as an adult, which is not true. I think almost everyone wants to make friends, new friends as an adult.
You just said it. There's a loneliness epidemic. You feel weird about going to try and make a friendship. Everybody's lonely. They'll probably be ecstatic that you walked up to them. You know what I mean? And if that person's not, then that maybe he's not your right person. Keep trying. Because 50% of the population is feeling some sort of loneliness. So, I mean, chances are like, you know, it's going to be a warm reception.
Yeah. I think that's like a really important thing to remember. And also think like, how would you feel if someone came up to you? You would be happy. Totally. It would make you feel included and it would make you, you know, so don't think that you're the exception to the rule that like people don't want to be friends with you. So, well, Erin, thank you so much for coming on and talking. I love the title of your book because it's like so catchy and hooky. And then you come in and there's so much more to it. So I'm so glad you came on. And I know a lot of people will get so much out of this, you know, learning about the value and how to make more friends and how to repair friendships. So can you tell people where to find you, where they can buy the book?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. You can get the book anywhere where you buy books, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, indie booksellers. And then you can find me, my blog is pickthebrain.com. And then on Instagram and all things social, I'm at Erin Falconer or at pickthebrain.
Amazing. I will link the book and your website in the show notes. But thank you so much again for coming on. This has been a really fun conversation.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.